Hey everyone, and welcome to a deep dive all about how the Exodus story kind of shows up in like all these different places in the Psalms.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how it echoes throughout.
Right. So you know the story of the Exodus, but have you ever like thought about how those themes, those symbols, those ideas keep coming back in the rest of the Bible?
It's like a ripple effect.
Exactly. And we're going to call that the Exodus motif for our deep dive.
Yeah, and we're not just talking about the Exodus event itself, but like how its language, its imagery shows up in other parts of the Bible.
And get this, some people think the Exodus motif might be like the most important tradition in the whole Bible.
That's a big deal.
Totally. So today we're going to follow Dr. David Emanuel's work and see how he sees this playing out in the Psalms.
Sounds good.
Let's just jump right in with Psalm 136. It's a great place to start.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Psalm 136 is like short and sweet, but it really packs a punch.
Right. And it's got this cool structure that's like a call and response.
Oh, yeah, like a back and forth.
Yeah. Imagine a leader saying a verse about what God did.
Uh-huh.
And then everyone else answers with, Ki li olam chasdo, which means, for his love is everlasting.
I can almost hear it now.
Right. But here's the thing. Some scholars, including Dr. Emanuel, think that response might have been added later.
Kind of like a biblical remix.
Totally. Makes you wonder about the psalm's original purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But even with that possible addition, Psalm 136 still shows this, like, really strong picture of God.
Oh, for sure.
Like, really emphasizing his power as he saves Israel.
It really focuses on God as this powerful warrior king.
Right.
Defeating the Egyptians and all these other kings who were standing in Israel's way.
It's like, don't mess with this God. But it's not just about raw power, is it? It's about God's love for Israel specifically.
Yeah, there's this emphasis on his unique love for them. Like, I'm a warrior, but I'm fighting for you.
Exactly. And this leads us to something Dr. Emanuel points out, the specific language in Psalm 136, particularly when it talks about the parting of the Red Sea.
Oh, right. It's kind of unusual.
Yeah. It's almost like it's connecting back to a different part of the Bible.
Well, a lot of scholars see a link back to Genesis 15.1c.
Wait, really?
Yeah, this verse describes this, well, smoking oven and a flaming torch passing between sacrificial pieces.
Okay.
And many think it foreshadows the Exodus with that flaming torch representing God leading the Israelites through the sea.
Whoa, that adds a whole other dimension to the Exodus story.
It's like, the writer of Psalm 136 is hinting at this deeper symbolic meaning.
I like that.
And speaking of interesting choices, did you notice this psalm skips over the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? It jumps straight to them conquering those Transjordanian kings.
Why would they skip over that? It's like a huge part of the story.
Well, Dr. Emanuel thinks the author might have been mostly drawing from the Torah, which ends with that conquest.
Oh, so they're working with a specific set of stories.
Yeah, like giving a condensed version, hitting those key moments.
Okay, makes sense. And even with that shortcut, Psalm 136 is still full of beautiful poetry.
It really is.
There's even an example of what's called a terraced pattern in there.
Oh, you mean like how the phrase heritage gets repeated?
Exactly. It emphasizes how God gives the land to Israel.
It's a beautiful way to highlight that gift.
But here's the funny thing. Remember that Ki li olam chasdo response? Well, it kind of messes with that poetic structure.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, which makes the idea that it was added later even more likely. Like someone decided to embellish this already beautiful song.
I like that analogy.
And get this, Psalm 136 is placed right next to other psalms that also have Exodus themes.
No way.
Yeah. It makes you think the arrangement of the psalms wasn't just random.
It's like someone curated a playlist, carefully choosing the order.
Totally. So even in this one psalm, we're seeing how the Exodus story is used to show different things about God and what he does, depending on what the author wants to say.
It's more than just retelling events. It's using them to make a point.
I'm starting to get why the Exodus motif is so powerful.
It's not just about what happened, but about what it means.
Mind-blowing. But before we go to another psalm, there's something about Psalm 136 that kind of stuck with me.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, so Psalm 136 keeps saying, for his love is everlasting, right? But then it focuses so much on God destroying the Egyptians. It's kind of like, is God's love for everyone or just for Israel?
That's a really insightful observation, you know. It's a question people have been asking about God's love for ages. Is it the same for everyone, or is it focused on a specific group?
Right. Like universal or particular.
Exactly. Psalm 136 doesn't really give us a clear answer. But it does make you think, you know, about how God shows his love and what that even means.
Yeah, for sure. It adds a whole other layer to the Exodus story, right? Mm. It's not just good guys and bad guys. It's about deeper stuff. Who is God, really? And how does he act in the world?
Absolutely. Psalm 136 uses the Exodus to explore these big questions about God. But are you ready to see how another psalm tackles it?
I'm ready. What's next?
Let's look at Psalm 78. Dr. Emanuel calls this a wisdom psalm, so get ready to think.
Wisdom psalm. Okay, I'm intrigued. What makes this one different from Psalm 136?
Well, remember, 136 was short and to the point. Psalm 78 is like way longer. It tells more of a story, almost like a little history lesson about Israel.
Like a highlight reel, but with a message.
Yeah. It doesn't just retell the events. It actually tries to teach some lessons from them, almost like warnings for people in the future.
Okay, I like this. What kind of wisdom are we talking about?
One big thing is remembering. Psalm 78 is all about learning from the past, passing down those stories about what God did, the good and the bad.
Like, don't forget your roots, or you'll end up making the same mistakes.
Exactly. It points out how so often the Israelites forgot about how faithful God was, and they rebelled. And it's not just them, right? It's a human thing. We all kind of forget sometimes, and then we make bad choices.
Oof. Too real. But how does the psalm actually use the Exodus story to, like, teach that lesson?
Well, it retells a lot of the key events. The plagues, the sea parting, even the manna in the wilderness. But it doesn't just give us the facts. It emphasizes how the Israelites complained, how they doubted, how they, like, turned away from God even after he saved them.
It's like they totally forgot what he did for them.
Totally. And the psalm uses that to warn later generations. Even if you see God's power firsthand, that doesn't mean you'll automatically stay faithful.
It's like faith isn't a one-time thing. It's a journey.
You got it. Knowing the Exodus story isn't enough. You have to learn from it. Let it change how you live.
Okay, that's powerful. That's why Dr. Emanuel calls it a wisdom psalm, right? It's not just history. It's about meaning. But, you know, something's been bugging me.
What is it?
We talk about all this stuff Psalm 78 includes from the Exodus, but is there anything important it leaves out?
You're picking up on a really important point. Dr. Emanuel actually points out that there are some notable omissions. Like, for example, it never mentions Passover.
Wait, seriously? Passover? But that's like a core part of the Exodus. Why would it be left out?
That is a great question. It shows that the psalm writers weren't just trying to give a complete history lesson. They were shaping the story to make their point.
Like they were editing the narrative to emphasize a specific message.
Exactly. And in Psalm 78, the focus is on disobedience and learning from those mistakes. So maybe Passover just didn't quite fit that theme.
Hmm. That makes sense. So we have to pay attention to what's not there, not just what is. We have to think about the writer's perspective, what they're trying to get across.
Exactly. That's what makes deep dives like this so valuable. It's not about just listening to the information. It's about wrestling with the text, asking those questions, you know, searching for that deeper meaning. We're part of this conversation that's been going on for centuries, adding our own voices and perspectives.
That's so cool. It's like we're talking to these ancient writers across time, trying to understand them and how their world connects to ours.
You got it. And through that conversation, we learn new things. We deepen our understanding of the Bible. We've explored Psalm 136 with its warrior king imagery and Psalm 78 about wisdom and learning from the past.
And they both use the Exodus motif, but in such different ways.
It's amazing, right? And for our final stop on this Exodus tour, we're jumping to another psalm, Psalm 135.
All right, bring on the Exodus insights. What's special about this one?
Well, first off, it's right next to Psalm 136 in the Bible.
Yeah.
And remember how we talked about the arrangement of the psalms being intentional?
It's like those you might also like recommendations online.
You got it. Both Psalm 135 and 136 have strong connections to the Exodus, so there's a reason they're side by side.
Okay, so how does 135 use the Exodus? What's its angle?
Well, it actually starts by talking about creation, highlighting God's power and wisdom as the one who made everything.
Wait, creation? How's that connected to the Exodus?
It sets the stage, you know? It's like saying, hey, if God can create the whole universe, then parting a sea is no big deal. It creates the sense of awe and wonder.
Okay, I see. So we start with creation and then...
Then it goes into the Exodus, recounting those big events, the plagues, the sea parting, the defeat of Pharaoh's army. But it shows God in a different light. Not so much the warrior king, like in Psalm 136. Here, he's more like a liberator, someone rescuing people who are oppressed.
Oh, interesting. So it's a different side of God. We're seeing that he's powerful and compassionate, a protector who also liberates.
Exactly. And that's what's so cool about these psalms. They give us multiple perspectives on the same story. It helps us understand God's actions more fully.
I love that. So Psalm 135 shows us God the liberator, What else sticks out?
Well, it connects the Exodus to this idea of covenant, specifically linking God delivering Israel with his promise to Abraham about giving them the land of Canaan.
So it's not just a one-time rescue. It's part of this bigger story of God keeping his promises.
Mm.
You got it. And that covenant idea, it's at the heart of the whole Bible. It's what ties everything together. Psalm 135 is saying, look, the Exodus isn't just some ancient event. It's a foundation story. It shapes how we understand God's relationship with his people.
Wow. We covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Warrior king, wise teacher, compassionate liberator. We've seen so many sides of God through this Exodus motif.
It's been quite a journey. And, you know, it shows us something important about studying the Bible. There's always more to discover, more layers, more viewpoints. It's not about finding all the answers. It's about being part of the conversation, asking the questions, wrestling with these ancient texts that still speak to us today.
I love that. It's like this ongoing conversation across time. And speaking of conversations, as we wrap up here, what's one thing you'd want our listeners to take away from all this, from our exploration of the Exodus and the Psalms?
That's a great question. You know, if I could just leave our listener with one thought, it would be that the Exodus story isn't like a one-size-fits-all kind of thing, you know? These Psalms show us there are so many ways to understand it, and each one reveals something different about God and how we relate to him.
I like that. It's like we've been using all these different lenses to look at the Exodus, and each lens brings something new into focus.
That's a great way to put it. And that leads to a bigger question. If there are so many meanings packed into the Exodus story, what other stories in the Bible might be waiting for us to, like, uncover their deeper meanings?
Ooh, I like where you're going with that. It's like we've only just started to explore what these ancient texts can teach us.
Right. And that's what makes studying the Bible so amazing. It's a journey of discovery. Hmm. It's full of these insights and perspectives that can change how we understand our faith, our history, even ourselves.
Well said. This deep dive has been a whirlwind. We've gone from God as warrior king to wise teacher to compassionate liberator, all through this lens of the Exodus.
It's been a fascinating journey for sure. And I hope it encourages everyone listening to approach the Bible with that sense of curiosity, that wonder. Always be open to new discoveries and new ways of understanding.
Couldn't agree more. So to everyone listening, if you've enjoyed this deep dive into the Exodus motif in the Psalms, grab your metaphorical shovel and keep digging. There's so much more to uncover in the Bible.
Happy exploring.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another exciting exploration.